This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
May the 4th be with you, Hunter.
Oh, it had so much more meaning a few years back before Disney got their grubby little hands on it. And
ruined it, and they ruined it, but we won't go there because that's a whole show. We could rant, and we don't want to do that. We've got a great week starting off, and we're going to jump right in. Joining us in the third chair is none other than show sponsor TJ Hamilton from Hagen Hamilton Insurance. TJ Sullivan, excuse me. I'm so excited about May the 4th. TJ, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So, so May the 4th, yeah, you're right. It is kind of, it doesn't really have the same. I saw that something on my streaming on my TV that there's like a Mandalorian and Grogu, and I went, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, and that's, I watched some of that when it was the TV show, The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But everything that's kind of come out since, it's just like one step into the toilet after another, and I'm kind of going, yeah, I don't need it anymore.
Well, we're gonna totally change the, because we've got a love letter to downtown Salem, and the perfect person to deliver that love letter is TJ. So, TJ, you're doing a monthly community champions promos here at KYK, and you just finished recording. And just talking before we went on the air, first of all, you've got my taste buds going because some of the businesses you're going to talk about are amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I think downtown, the city manager of Salem, Kristen Embury, is a great city manager, understands, like, here's the problem, here's the solution, and we're not going to dance around it, we're just going to solve it. And that's what you want. The mayor and the city council, they're largely figureheads. We are a city manager run town,
right.
She has heard from a lot of businesses, hey, our employees don't feel safe, our customers say it's not clean. So she is doubling down on the safety. She's got money in the budget, restoring money in the budget for public safety. So you will see a better police presence in downtown Salem.
Right.
And you will see more cleaning that's happening. And it's important because we have people like Sewell Suites. Chad and Kat Sewell are the owners. They're a young couple. They've got under 10 employees, and they are doing their best to make this business go in downtown Salem. And they... when you go into Sewell Suites, you will see Chad Sewell behind the counter, most likely. And his wife, Kat, I say she's the diabolical inventor of delicious desserts. And I told you guys that, you know, I most times at night before bed, it's a bourbon and a book for me before I hit the hay. But I could be talked into a chocolate chip cookie and some milk really easily. Oh. And Sewell Suites has the best chocolate chip cookies in Oregon. It's a recipe that Kat has been making since she was in junior high. Three different kinds of chocolate that get chopped up into these cookies, and they're just everything from the butter to the flour is just all natural, locally sourced, and they're very intentional about turning out a quality product. Their cakes are, she wins all kinds of awards for her cakes, and if you want to deliver something special to somebody, bring a cake from Sewell Suites. If you got to go to a, you know, graduation party and you're supposed to bring something, bring a cake from Sewell Suites. You will definitely, people will know that you stepped up to the plate when you do that.
Nice.
And their new thing is the Moose Crunch, which I'm just going to tell you, if you go in on Thursdays or Saturdays, they're usually stocked. They take 3 days to make, so they're not always in stock. Mm-hmm. But Thursdays and Saturdays, you can find the Moose Crunch. They are the most incredible, delightful thing. There's usually a little bit of a line out the door, which is a great thing to see
for
business
in
downtown Salem.
Yeah.
They're just sweet people who pushed all their chips to the center and said, we're all in downtown Salem. And, you know, as part of Main Street Association, we're doing everything we can. We've been downtown pressure washing. We're going to be hanging flower baskets that we got from Rich Kansky at Green Acres, and they really came through for us. All I told Rich was, I want bodacious hanging baskets. I don't know much about flowers, But Rich is like, all right, he goes, we got the Dolly Parton of flower baskets coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but I saw one picture and it's astounding. Yeah. I mean, I got a pretty good idea.
Like bodacious, you're going to get that. Yeah.
So we're going to bring some color and vibrancy back into downtown the same time that the city is stepping up their efforts to make it safer. Marion Parkade is going to be undergoing a renovation, making it safer. Nice. The Rite Aid is going to be turned into an El Torito's grocery market.
That's right.
So you're going to have a grocery store. You're going to have a redone Parkade. You're going to have an investment in safety. You're going to have pressure washing taking place so the sidewalks will be cleaner. And you got Sewell Suites cranking out the goods. It's no reason not to go downtown. Keep your money in your community. Shop locally.
And that's so important because it has been challenging. And so to see all these efforts and then you guys coming in and doing the pressure washing and the baskets and then public safety, because you've got to turn that perception once it takes a hold, you've got to break it. And it sounds like you guys are doing everything right. Kristen's doing everything right.
Yeah. She's very practical. And what I love about her is you could tell her, I've got the greatest thing in the world for you. And her first response is going to be, okay, I need to go talk to every department head about this great thing that you're going to do because I want to know how it's going to impact what they do. And she's a team player, but she's very cautious and very thoughtful in how she goes about solving problems. It's just nice to see a city manager who is that involved in getting everybody's opinion and making everybody aware. She's not fly by the seat of her pants, you know, making decisions.
Well, and I was going to say, because Krista's been with the city for a long time, so she's got deep roots in Salem.
Yeah, she does. She started out in IT. But she did get to learn under Linda Norris, who I think was maybe the best city manager we've ever had in Salem.
100% agree.
And
Linda
so
was great.
Krishna got to learn and watch how Linda carried herself. And Krishna, nobody at the city wants to let Krishna down, right? They all appreciate her thoughtfulness and her approach, and they all work super hard, and she's the first in and the last to leave, and that's what you want out of your leader. She sets the tone. So
well, thanks for, because I think I've said her name twice wrong now, so it's Krishna
number.
Okay,
yeah.
I just want to make sure we get that out there right, because I've been creative in my pronunciation, so thanks DJ.
No,
I read her name all the time, I just don't say it too much.
Yeah.
But I think it's really encouraging, and it's awesome you've got that renaissance going on downtown, and it is a renaissance. And if you've got Sewell Suites, man, is top of my list.
I gotta
try that.
I went in there the first day they had the moose crunch in there. There was a young girl in there, and she was trying to consume the mango. First of all, the mango mousse crunch, it looks like a mango. They got a mango mold, and they make white chocolate mixed with coconut essence and mango essence. And then they fill it with a coconut mousse and a passion fruit mango filling. And this girl was maybe 6 years old, and she had moussed that thing all over her face.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
It's great to hear the revitalizing of downtown, especially, you know, we had a gorgeous weekend. We're looking for, you know, kind of a string of some nice warm days, even when we get a little cloud cover. And I'm going, what better way to spend an afternoon? You're right down there. You're not too far from parks and rivers and everything else, and just kind of be able to wander a little bit and enjoy what downtown Salem can bring.
Stop in, get yourself something local,
and
there's a good chance it'll bounce back to you.
Oh, yeah. And then if you've got outdoor seating and things like that, I think a number of places still have outdoor seating. I know I was in earlier this year was at just as far as the alleyways have got all kinds of cool stuff. First time going, I went to Cozy Taberna. Wow. I had some friends who went there for their 50th wedding anniversary. Happy golden anniversary, Ron and Becky. And it's just there's so many unique food choices in downtown. It's amazing. And most people, Salem's got this, Salem is lame. It's such crap. It's not true.
Yeah. Well, we've started a thing. There's a group of us that said we're gonna start a new rumor. And the new rumor is that downtown Salem is happening. It's awesome. And everything that's happened at the Forge, the amount of investment that Chris Blackburn has made at the Forge with we got a new dumpling shop in there, and there's an ice cream store. There's just a lot of fun things that open up right out onto the Liberty Street, onto the sidewalk. So you can walk up, grab a coffee from the sidewalk and the dumpling place. Christy and I went down there the other night to grab dinner, and it was so busy that we ended up going to the Cozy because we could get into the Cozy, which is, you know, maybe Salem's best restaurant along with Da Vinci's, and we were able to get in there. So it's like, okay, we can't go to the new dumpling shop because everybody in Salem was there enjoying downtown, which is great. It's just fun when there's a lot of activity and the buzz in downtown Salem. So
I love it. And then with summer coming up, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the park. And I mean, so it's just, it's happening. It's kind of like, it's a little gem that only the cool kids know about.
Yeah. And since we talked about Dolly Parton, she's only doing like one of her two stage shows this year is going to be at the Elsinore.
Seriously?
So Dolly Parton is coming to Salem to the Elsinore.
Ooh.
The Elsinore has just been killing it. Tom Fone and what they're doing with their, a lot of the different acts that they've booked there has just been.
I love that theater. I love that theater with all my heart. I've performed in that theater. I have gone to so many shows in that theater. It is an absolute gem in Salem. And I'm glad it got a little refresh recently as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The new Blade sign is spectacular.
Yeah.
And Tom Fone, who is the executive director there, is so good. It makes my head hurt when I think about all the stuff that he's bringing in. Just for every generation, there's something for you.
Yeah, cool. Salem doesn't really. Yeah, Salem's got it good.
Yeah,
got it good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
There's all kinds of. That's the rumor. Mm-hmm. So TJ, these PSAs, TJ does one a month. Spotlight sounds like this one. TJ is a little bit more broad. You've got a couple of businesses in there. Kind of that love letter to Salem.
Yeah, I really focus on just spending money locally. You know, I mean, Green Acres does a great job with the work that they do, and there's the people who live in your community that have businesses, and it's a shame if you go elsewhere to shop. Amazon's a great business. I love Amazon, but if I could buy something locally and employ somebody here locally, I'm going to be more apt to do that than I am. And if I could find somebody who owns the business, I'm going to give them my money so that is a chance that it'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, that's to me, that's such a big thing. And that's why I love the small local, the coffee shops, the ice cream shops, you know, dumplings, sweet cakes, whatever you're getting. It's like being able to sit here and buy from local, the people that you interact with, even if you don't realize that you're interacting with them almost daily. So yeah, definitely that local vibe, it needs the refreshing, and then I'm all about getting back into it more and more because we spent way too long sitting there saying, these aren't important businesses, Walmarts and Targets and Amazons and Costcos. Those are the important ones. I'm going, no, that's not how it works, because as we can see nationally, they shut down if the economy doesn't really suffice for them in an area.
So TJ, we appreciate you and your efforts to do that, to shine a bright nice warm spotlight on everybody. Sewell Sweets, I'm gonna check out the chocolate chip cookie because I love chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely got that on my list. So again, TJ Sullivan with Hagen Hamilton Community Champions promos, you'll be hearing them all throughout the month. Be sure to tune in and then get downtown. Get your walking shoes on and go experience downtown. We're out of time, TJ. Thank you for coming in, and I'll be listening for those promos, and I will be going to Sewell Suites.
Yes.
Soon. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, and just in there we had Hagen Hamilton, Green Acres, we got Sewell Suites. Just before we talk about our next topic, though, I will link up Sewell Suites because, number one, I need to get them into my phone so that I have them there.
You need to know the exact location.
Yes, so you can drop a pin in that and make sure you get down there. We definitely want to make sure we mention our friend and colleague Todd Starnes' message over the weekend, and of course he's put it out on public media. He's had some issues. He's been pretty upfront about them. He's had some heart issues in the past, and he had a stroke, I think, in 2007. He's got a aortic something in there, but he wasn't feeling real well last week. And I know I noticed it because I'm like, wait a minute, this is repeating. What's going on here? And so he put it on his friend's page, and then he put it out public. I basically had a 90% blockage, what doctors call a widow maker. And so it was a little scary. So we are keeping him certainly in our prayers for a full and speedy recovery. I know he's got some different guest hosts going on there. I'm sure we'll hear Mary Walter and Jeff Katz and a number of the other ones filling in for him as he gets better, because that's scary. That the widow maker is called that for a serious reason.
Yeah,
sometimes you don't survive that.
Yeah, and I just sit here and go, you know, thoughts and prayers. And I know that a lot of our listeners miss when Todd Starnes isn't out there.
Right.
And this isn't by choice. Believe me, I'm sure he would 100% prefer to be on the air. But it is part of being part of those radio families where something like this occurs. And we saw it with Rush Limbaugh and everything else. And everyone kind of steps up and, you know, we're willing to do what needs to be done to get through this period of time. So kudos to the radio community stepping up in helping Todd. But that's why he will be having a guest fill in for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully he'll bounce back. I don't. He's an, you know, he's a teetotaler. He drinks, what does he call it, the Baptist Martini, like a Dr. Pepper or something. Like, oh, Todd. So anyway, yeah. So relieved to hear that he's on the other side of that. Another health news, of course. America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and I don't have an update since before we went on air last. I know he was battling pneumonia, and he was on a ventilator for a little while. He's an older gentleman. I remember New York under Giuliani. I had visited there. I had visited there before Giuliani, during Giuliani, and after Giuliani. New York under the mayorship of Mayor Giuliani was a completely different city. Mm-hmm. It felt safe. It was kind of like what's happening in Salem, where it's safe, it's clean. You don't have the garbage. I remember the garbage piled up high, the rats and everything else. Rudy, obviously famous for the broken window strategy, where you take care of the small stuff and the bigger stuff. You hold people responsible for the smaller stuff, and the bigger stuff gets sorted out. So prayers for Mayor Giuliani as well. He's been a little bit of a controversial figure, not to me, not to Oz, but to some. Yeah. I've always appreciated him. I don't know how much what's happening with him with pneumonia, a lung issue, stems from 9/11. I know I've said in the past, my stepmother worked for the Bank of New York during 9/11 and had to run through and was one of the ghost people and ended up passing in 2009 from pancreatic cancer. I do connect the dots there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's some dots to be connected with Mayor Rudy as well. So he is in our prayers as well for a speedy recovery. Being on a ventilator makes me nervous, but it's like, I think he's a tough guy. He's a New Yorker. He'll get through this. Come on, Rudy.
Like you said, you visited before, during, and after, and I would suspect that, you know, while it was at its best during Giuliani, I'm going, I challenge you to go visit now see what
not
it's real.
Not a chance. No, I not a chance. I still have family that probably voted for Mom Donnie, who live in Brooklyn, and some that live in Manhattan. They are they're Democrats. I'm throwing that out because I don't quite know what that means anymore. But I'm assuming they voted for that, and so they're having to live with it. But yeah, just looking at what's happening with the city now, no way am I going back. And it breaks my heart because I love New York City. Love it.
Well, it is the mecca center of the East Coast of the United States.
To see
the way it's going and the constant, you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, in its heyday, when you have rich people that are buying up, you know, places, the economy is chugging along, the amount of visitors into that city are driving an economy like you wouldn't believe, you know, bigger economy than a lot of nations have. And then you go this full-on socialist direction, and now it's like we have such massive budget shortfalls that we're going to tax the rich out of town, and we're going to the thought process behind it is just staggering.
Yeah, and it's not a safe city to walk around anymore. You know, under Giuliani, it was a lot of people complained, it's too much like Disneyland. It's too safe. Some of what you go to New York for is that gritty, we're going to go over, you know, we're going to go over to China, my favorite restaurant in Chinatown, Wohop. Go there if you're there, although I won't go anymore because they have the best shrimp toast. Go to the downstairs one. But you kind of go there because it had that gritty kind of edge, especially in the 80s when I was there a lot. I was in the city a lot. And it was gritty and it felt a little unsafe. But I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now when you're a little older, you don't want to be walking around feeling like I'm really not safe and I'm in a touristy spot. It's not just the, you know, the no-go zone. So it's just, it's tragic. It makes me mad. And really what makes me mad is they're going to be have their hands out when it all falls to pieces. They're going to be begging, like they're begging for the state to give them money. They're going to be begging for everybody else. They're already begging for the millionaires that Kathy Hochul shunned and said, go to Florida. Now they're like, oh, please come back, please.
Yeah, I've... Unfortunately, we're seeing that on both sides of the country. Portland, Seattle are doing the same thing. And I just,
Seattle!
And I just sit here and go, you know, let New York experience it before you go and try and join them. You know, let's see what it actually pans out if you're going to... But no, they got to do it first. It's this, you know, race to the bottom, it seems like, some of these major cities right now.
And Katie Wilson with her, you know, and for those businesses that are already leaving, bye! It's like, woe to you, Seattle. Woe to you. I don't know which one's going to be the first to collapse completely, Portland, Seattle, or New York. My money may be on Portland, though. I don't know.
Well, just seeing some of the numbers and the amount of businesses leaving. I mean, the news, Nike's laying off, what, 700 employees in the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
And I just, in the list of businesses leaving, they're at already like 35% vacancy in the downtown. It's just like... Yeah, there is a big time death spiral in these cities, and rather than try and change leadership, they double down on it.
Which is why it's so encouraging to see the efforts that TJ is making and the mayor and the city manager to revitalize Salem. Salem is a real gem. It's got a wonderful, beautiful downtown, and now it's got Sewell Suites. So, yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. In my lifetime, I've seen a number of cities where they take their downtown corridor and they choose somewhere different. We want to build up this place at the expense of downtown. And at the end of the day, they circle back and they're like, wait, we need the downtown. This is so important to everything we're about. And I don't want to lose it to realize we need it. Let's put it that way.
And all of this is about choices, and choices come down to who you vote for. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're going to switch gears a little bit and start talking about voter rolls, Oregon's elections. I mean, obviously, we all know that there's a lot at stake, and we want to welcome to the phone to the show via phone, Dr. Douglas Frank, PhD. Dr. Frank, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I know you're kind of doing a speaking tour of Oregon. You're going to be at Bowen Vine tomorrow night, right here in Salem, 6 to 8:30. And you're a scientist and an election data analysis. And of course, we heard the news last week. Tom Fitton posted this out that the Secretary of State is going to supposedly be removing about 800,000 bogus, weird, questionable voters from the rolls. And you're gonna share some information, some deep digging that you've done into some of the numbers.
That's right. I've been working with the Judicial Watch with respect to that lawsuit. I'm very familiar with your numbers. In fact, last night I published a table outlining the numbers for every county in the state of Oregon. I put it on my social media. So if anybody wants to bring that up, you can look at that table. But basically summarizes how that your voter rolls today are dirtier than they were a year ago.
Oh. Really? Well,
why am I
tell.
Not surprised?
Yes. And it's a shame, really, because you're having a primary, and the election, general elections, are less important, actually, than the primary. Most of the decisions are made in the primary. And so to have your rolls be dirty now is particularly bad.
So talk to us a little bit about some of the breakdowns you've done and some of the charts, because I will go ahead and link up to that. I saw that on your social media, and I'll link that up in show notes after the show.
Yeah, the key idea that I think, you know, we're on radio and people can't see charts, but I think the key idea for people to understand is, you know, like I've been traveling the state now 1 week out of every month this year, and I intend to continue doing so. Why am I doing that? Well, I'm trying to organize multiple counties together to say to the state, we're simply not going to comply with your system anymore because it's illegal. It's full of of names and addresses and voting that's not according to our own state law, not according to federal law. And all of that is not because the local clerks are bad or the local commissioners are bad. It's because the state system itself is illegal and it's being imposed on the counties. So my goal is to get multiple of the counties to stand together and say, we're simply not going to use this illegal system. That's the value of the lawsuit last week, because we proved what I've been telling everybody for a couple of years in court, that the voter rolls are invalid. Now, when they say they're going to remove people, they say they're going to remove inactives, but they're also removing lots of active voters. And then the question is, not necessarily how many are you going to remove. The question is, well, how many did you add back? So, for example, since last year, in every county, many people have been removed from the rolls, but even more have been added back. And how does that happen? Well, that happens through your state agencies, such as your DMV or car registration or welfare or whatnot. So anyway, that's what I'm going to show people in my presentation, and I'm going to show them that it's right in their own neighborhoods. I'll bring up a spreadsheet where anybody in the audience can give me their address, and we'll look up their own address. And I will show them their own house and their own neighbors, and this never fails. Because about 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 of the people in the voter rolls don't belong there. It's simple. Every page on this in the spreadsheet is full of examples. So the whole point is, people want to think, well, the problem's in Multnomah. Nope. It's in every county. It's in every community. It's in every neighborhood. And the reason is because the rolls are centrally controlled, not locally controlled.
So when you say not comply, what does that look like on a county level, say for Marion County?
So Marion County is mailing ballots to everybody who's considered active in the voter rolls. And I just got a note from somebody this morning. They've received 3 ballots for every adult at that house. So it's not even just 1 ballot. So they're mailing out. So what I like to do is talk to Marion, and I'll talk to the commissioners there, and I'll say, look how much money you're wasting every election. You know, in Marion County, I'm looking right now, they've got something like 270,000 people total in the rolls. About 230,000 of them are active. So if, say, a third of those, that's about 80,000 addresses. And if we just make a simple math and say a $10 per ballot to print, mail, process, et cetera, I think that's actually a conservative estimate. That means every election you're wasting $800,000. So the primary election, you're wasting $800,000. It's general. That's a lot of money to just throw away. But even worse, mailing out all those ballots to people who aren't legitimate voters, you're creating the opportunity for all kinds of bad behavior. And that's a double reason. So why would you use the state voter rolls? I'm answering your question. Why would a county want to use the state voter rolls when they're wasting huge amounts of money and exposing themselves to bad behavior? Especially now that it's been proven in court to be illegal, why comply with a non-compliant system?
So, okay, so they don't use the state voter rolls. What do they do? Do they have their own internal voter rolls? Do they do an audit? Do they start over? What does that look like? Okay.
Good. So what I do is I teach counties how to do this. I give them a copy of their voter rolls sorted in particular ways that makes it easy for them to find people who don't belong there, and also a copy of the National Change of Address Registry from the post office so you know everybody who's moved away. And if you just downloaded today's rolls, if a county did that today, they're very dirty. And if you just run the NCOA against it, people who have signed a card saying they don't want to live here anymore, you can just quickly take out probably 15-20% right off the top. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you divide your county up into precincts. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Precinct counties already decided. And you have the parties. You have the Republican Party, the Democrat Party. They have precinct chairs, people who are responsible for maintaining the rolls in each of those precincts. And you just divide it up and use the rolls I provide. And when a couple of weekends work, you can have a clean copy of your own voter rolls and save about 30% on every election, something like that.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, PCPs, precinct committee persons, there's a certain number for each precinct in Oregon. I know some have more, some have other. There's always blank lines on the ballots, always.
Yes, that's true.
Was one for many, many years. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know what to do as a PCP. I don't want to go knocking on doors. Well, this sounds like this is like a pretty decent project to get the PCPs involved in.
Exactly. And you know, really, that's why we had PCPs in the very beginning, was because they were in charge of the voter rolls for their precinct. And what's happened is, over time, people have kind of gotten lazy and they've forgotten that is the role of the PCP. And so a lot of times PCPs, they don't want to volunteer because what do we do? I mean, who wants to volunteer for a job that does nothing? So now we're giving them something meaningful to do. So it's not merely me educating a community what's wrong, but also teaching them their role in the community and how to take back local control and how to start being the government again. I like saying, you know, for too many years, we the people have been paying other people to run our government, paying other people to teach our children, and paying other people to run our elections. How are those things working out? I think it's time for we the people to reengage our civic duty and to, you know, resume the American experiment. American is an experiment in self-government. Let's wake people up and get them civically engaged again.
Yeah, I just sit here and go, you know, we know the population of Oregon is in a time of decreasing. Our births are not outpacing our deaths. The people are packing up and leaving, whether it's economically or politically. And yet our voter rolls keep expanding, and motor voter is the big culprit. And even in the last couple of weeks on social media, I'm seeing people talking about, you know, either getting a ballot they weren't expecting, or, you know, when they were in there getting their stuff, they said, we're going to register to vote. We said, we're a Republican. They got a non-affiliated ballot. And I'm just going, so we're allowing people that you know, aren't doing a great job to continue just adding bodies to our voter rolls, whether we know it or not. And for an increase in registered voters as the population decreases, that logically doesn't add up.
You're exactly right. It doesn't make sense that your rolls are growing while your population is in decline. But even more so, it doesn't make sense you have more active voters in your rolls than you have 18 and older population. I mean, not everybody 18 and older is qualified to vote either. So you're way past rational. Your rolls are very irrational and wasteful, and it just opens you up to all kinds of issues.
So, quick question. We only have a limited amount of time with you, Doctor, but as you've been presenting this, has there been a difference in different counties that you've been on how you're received and how open those counties are to your data and your suggestions?
Great question. Yes, some places the commissioners don't give me the time of day. I'm sitting here in Washington County today. These commissioners are clueless. But when I when I'm in, you know, on the dry side of the Cascades, those commissioners are fired up once I show them the actual evidence. In other words, I don't just make statistics. I show them their own roles, and I let them look up in their own neighborhoods. They see it for themselves. So I don't have to make an argument or show statistics. I just let them see their own data. And those people, you know, it's funny because in Oregon, 15 counties over there, 13 of them have already signed. They want to secede from the state of Oregon and join Idaho. So those counties are very receptive to me coming along and saying, why do you want to use the state system? You should divorce yourself from it. So I get very warmly received over there. My challenge there is they don't understand that your elections are centrally controlled. So because they have a clerk they love and a sheriff they love and county commissioners they love, they think everything's okay. So there's first like a mind-opening experience I have to give them. I have to red pill them. They're like, well, no, what are you doing here, Dr. Frank? We don't need you here. Everything's good. We love our clerk. And I'm like, you don't understand. Your clerk's not in charge of your role. The state is. And that's the problem. So I have to wake them up first, show them what's wrong, and then get them organized. And that's what I've been doing. I've been to three-fourths of your counties now. And I'd say I got about 15 counties right now with local teams that are doing this effort. So you should be hearing soon some pretty big waves coming from our effort.
Okay. And like I said, you're going to be speaking at Bowen Vine Burger Bar in Salem on Commercial Street in Salem tomorrow from 6 to 8:30. The topic, obviously, who is controlling our elections? So who should go to this, Dr. Frank?
Well, I think every citizen that wants free and fair elections should get engaged. And I'm particularly looking for people who want to become active in their own neighborhoods. A lot of times, you know, and I understand it because I'm human too, and I'm 64. And, you know, we elected Trump as our president, and now many people are sitting on their hands waiting for Trump to fix everything. And I call it the Trump slump. And people need to realize there is no solution from the top down. The solution is bottom up. Our power is at the county level. And when we organize town by town, county by county, that's when we can restore election integrity to our country. And I've been doing this all over the country, not just Oregon. I got multiple other states doing this same sort of thing. And we have successes all over the country to show for it. And I had to learn how to do that, though, because I'm a physicist. I'm a numbers guy. And I thought all I had to do was show people the numbers, and they'd go, "Oh no, we got to fix it." But I was wrong. I learned. You have to organize teams. You have to lead a grassroots movement, and that's what I've been doing.
Well, and you got to go to someplace like Burger Bo and Vine Burger Bar as well, because my understanding is the menu will be available too, so you could go get yourself a burger. You could listen to this. The website is secureourelectionsnow.org. You can RSVP through there, get some more details. Dr. Frank, thank you so much for coming on. It sounds like it's going to be a very informative, important evening for people to get out to.
I try to keep it fun. I've given 1,100 presentations public like this around the country over the last 5 years. So I've got nice little humor and spice throughout to keep people alive and engaged. You know, when you're talking a difficult subject, if it's all serious, you know, that's difficult to endure. But I keep it light and fun. And I've been a teacher and a professor for a decade, so I know how to engage a class. I promise it'll be a fun evening.
Perfect. Well, on that note, thank you for your time, Dr. Frank, and we hope you have a standing room only tomorrow night.
Well, thank you for having me. I sure appreciate it.
All right. And that will all be on the website, and I will link everything up. All right, we're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
Alrighty. Once again, thanks to Dr. Douglas Frank for coming on. It is Who's Controlling Our Elections again tomorrow night, Bo and Vine Burger Bar from 6 to 8:30, focusing on Marion and Polk County. So Hunter, during the break, because we had talked about this a little bit when the news broke, when Tom Fitton had tweeted that out about the voter rolls. You made a good point last night, and I think you should hit that again because it was a good point.
Well, and to me, that's the thing, is it allows them, we've always talked, the biggest challenge for Republicans statewide in Oregon is voter apathy. And by having such robust voter rolls that we can't fully trust in, we have a segment of people that aren't going to vote because they, one, believe it just doesn't, you know, make a difference.
Right.
So something like this might actually convince them to do it. The bigger thing to me is it allows a narrative. And we constantly hear you lost because people didn't get out and vote. And I go, did we lose truly because people didn't get out and vote, or did we lose and we have such a large number of people that are still on our voter rolls that aren't living in the state, that aren't alive, that aren't whatever the scenario, that they allow that big number to say, nope, look, it's all your own fault because you just didn't go out and vote.
Yeah, and does that feed the narrative and, again, feed into voter apathy? I, and I'm seeing this all over social media, well, until we end vote by mail, until we do all this, my vote doesn't matter, which is absolutely the wrong take. And I wish I saw more pushback on that, especially on candidate pages. A pushback to say, you know, vote anyway, or, you know, we're doing a deep dive on the numbers. But that once that apathy narrative gets set, it's really hard to bust it.
Well, and I love, because I was looking at it, and I go, the topic, who's controlling our elections? Didn't Joe Biden tongue slip and just admit that one not that long ago? It's not about who votes, it's about who's counting the votes.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be a good evening again tomorrow night, 6 to 8:30.
And at Bowen Vine. So he's going to get the best burger in Salem. And
I saw on the flyer, they're so good. They've got the QR code to the menu. Order yourself a burger. Get an adult beverage if you want. Sounds like it's going to be not just dry statistics and pie charts, which everyone always accuses conservatives. All you have are pie charts. No. So it sounds like Dr. Frank is going to be a pretty engaging speaker. Speaking of that, and again, we talk about this is all down to choices and votes. And there's another debate tonight. Coin 6 Channel 6 is doing a debate. My understanding is that four of them will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle Bethel will be on the stage for this one. I will be tuning in. I'm going to be watching this tonight so I can chat about it tomorrow. I don't have a ton of details other than it's Channel 6 or wherever you can. I stream everything, so I'm going to have to find a live stream somewhere.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do everything I can to watch. I'm tied up till about 7 o'clock, but as soon as I walk in the door, my plan is I'm going to plug this on and see what we see, because I'm excited that it's going to be – locally broadcast in the state of Oregon,
yeah.
because
yeah.
that was one of the big things missing from the first time around. Yeah. And I go, it needs to reach a bigger audience. They need to see the message through their TV screens rather than have to search and find some platform they can watch it on. So, no, I'm excited for it.
Or not get the link.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever the scenario. Again, searching for it. But I go, you know, this is what we need. We need these conversations. We're not going to see any, you know, debates from the Democrat side of the aisle because they already have their anointed one. Even though there is 9 other people running against her. So obviously she isn't as liked as she likes to think she is, even by the lefties. But hey.
Well, you look at that with the endorsements, which don't necessarily mean anything because they'll all coalesce during the general. But mm-hmm. you're not seeing a lot of endorsements in the primary. But I think Dr. Frank made this statement as well. Kind of all the action is in the primary. Mm-hmm. Who Republican voters in Oregon pick to be their candidate really matters. And again, you always talk about vote with your heart. I'm like, vote with your brain in both. You want to pick somebody who wins. I do have we're not going to have time to get into it. But friends from the Baker County Republican Women kind of broke down the numbers on why they're supporting a particular candidate. So there's a lot of theories, a lot of, you know, this is why I'm doing it. But if you just look at it's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to.
Well, it's money, it's numbers, it's exposure, name recognition. But I just sit here and go, the other thing is, and we pound this thing into the ground like a railroad tie, we have to get out and vote in the primaries. This is when our mayor, our city councilors are elected. And no vote on the gas tax.
Yes.
And I've seen, you know, I know it's like on the backside of some ballots. So make sure you flip over your ballot.
Yeah. And then a lot of times the counties will have separate sheets. Sometimes they're blue. Sometimes they're green. Sometimes they're yellow. Open that ballot up and do it, you know, do an audit of it. Make sure everything mm-hmm. is there because that's why you want to open it up early enough, too. Mm-hmm. But again, if you are a non-affiliated or an independent, you still will vote no on the gas tax. And you're going to vote for the mayor. Mm-hmm. And you're maybe, depending on what ward you live in, you may have a city councilor that you're going to be voting for. So those are three really important things, whether or not you vote in the primary for who the candidate is for either the Dems or the Republicans.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we won't know the outcome of how the whole governor's race, any other statewide races until November. But these primaries are so important at the local level because, again, these are the people that have to do with your daily life. These are the people that are working right now to clean up downtown and rejuvenate downtown Salem. We need to kind of, you know, look at that and say, these are the people that are responsible for what's going on closest to home.
Exactly.
The governor doesn't care about your close to home. Let's put it that way.
No, but the mayor does. And then who the city manager, again, Salem is a weak mayor, so strong city manager. Real quick before we run out of time. If you haven't caught, LA has got a mayoral race. Social media was ablaze with Spencer Pratt, former star of The Hills, and he is surging. I think Kalshi has him up by 28%. He is running some of the best political ads I've ever seen.
Is that the one where he put the one about here's where Karen Bass lives, here's where so and so lives, here's where I live, and it's a trailer and a burned out lot on the Palisades?
Amazing. And then it is really resonating with people. So again, who your mayor is really matters.
Yeah. Let's take that lesson from LA. You know, we need to make sure your mayor is concerned about what's going on locally.
Yeah. It's been incredible to see those ads and to see. And so the Kalshi of the betting sites have him up 28%. So there's a surge. So again, local, local, local. That's what matters.
Well, and it can all be done throughout Oregon here because we aren't a whole lot better than LA at these points. Especially as the weather gets nice and, you know, we're seeing more and more of it on a daily basis. So,
yeah, which means you want to get downtown and go to Sewell's Sweets, right? Right. All right. We got another great show planned for you tomorrow. Go out. Enjoy the day. Go get some chocolate. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.